Chicagoan shared the following. Yesterday, I watched a huge flight of geese winging their way south through one of those panoramic sunsets that color the entire sky for a few moments. I saw them as I leaned against the lion statue in front of the Chicago Art Museum, where I was watching the Christmas shoppers hurry along Michigan Avenue. When I lowered my gaze, I noticed a bag lady standing a few feet away, who also had been watching the geese. Our eyes met and we smiled, silently acknowledging the fact that we shared a marvelous sight, a symbol of the struggle to survive. I overheard the lady talking to herself as she shuffled away. Her words, "God spoils me," were startling. I believe the sight of the geese had shattered the harsh reality of her own struggle. It was moments like these that sustained her in surviving the indignity of the streets. Her smile was real. The sight of the geese was her present, was proof that God existed, and it was all that she needed. I envy her. You know, we've all had those moments, haven't we, in our lives individually and even with other people, where we realize we've shared something very special. It could be a vision of the geese flying south. It could be a sunset. It could be any one of a number of things. But it's a moment that stays with us and that we realize is timeless, that has deeply touched us. And for this woman, this bag lady, that moment, as the person who shared it with her noted, shattered her life in a powerful way. It helped open her eyes to see that God had not forgotten her. In the midst of her living on the streets, that sight of the geese helped her to know that God was still with her in a very profound and deep and powerful way. And my question on this Easter Sunday for each one of us is simply this: what do you need to shatter the struggle in your own life? Well, for that matter, what do you need to have happen that would shatter the everyday monotony or boredom that has set in for you, that you might come more deeply into the reality of life and the specialness of life? In today's gospel lesson, we read a story about some women who were going to Jesus' tomb. And if you read all of the gospel accounts about this journey, all of them talk about the women going to anoint the dead body of Jesus. They would have their burial spices and oils. It was something that they would do by tradition, and that's what they were expecting. Imagine their surprise when they saw the risen Lord. Wasn't what they were thinking about. I can almost guarantee you they had a lot of different things on their mind, but one of the things they had not even considered that day was that Jesus was risen from the dead, let alone an angel sitting on the stone that was rolled over the tomb there to greet them as well. It was a very special, life-changing moment for them that shattered their life and forever changed them. Lives shattered by hope. I love that phrase because as I share it, lives shattered by hope, there are words that we wouldn't usually put together. When I think about shattered, I think about a beautiful vase that somebody drops and it shatters in a million pieces on the ground. Or I think about somebody sharing with me about a shattering experience in their life that has destroyed them. But we can also have shattering experiences that are incredibly positive. We realize from the story of this woman and that this man shared together that you and I can have a shattering experience in our life that brings forth hope, that brings forth life, that brings forth a totally new perspective. And that is my prayer for you and me here today, that you would be shattered in a positive way from our time together, that you would be shattered by hope, that you would be shattered by God's love for you, and that it would set your perspective of life in a whole new direction, a direction maybe that you haven't even considered before. In our gospel lesson toward the end of the gospel, you might want to take a look at that. Jesus meets up with the women just as they're leaving his tomb. That's one thing to remember. You know, Jesus ruined every funeral that he went to. You know that, don't you? Every funeral he went to, he ruined because he was raising people from the dead. He even ruined his own funeral. right? And so as they were leaving his tomb where he wasn't anymore, he met them. He met them. And he said something very interesting to them. He didn't give them a big, long theological treatise like he would later on with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He didn't go into them about all of his passion on the cross and all he experienced and all of those kinds of things. He gave them almost an incredible kind of greeting that I would never, ever expect. It was very simple and to the point. He simply said to them, greetings. Hello. Good day, mate. How you doing? You know, basically, that's what he said to them. He said what any of us would have said to one another in a normal greeting. But as you look at the Greek, it's very interesting. That word greetings means all hail or rejoice. And I believe what Jesus was saying to the women at that moment, and he's saying to you and me, is celebrate my resurrection. Rejoice in what has taken place. And I believe as Jesus was sharing this greeting with them and encouraging them to rejoice, I believe he was smiling. I believe he was genuinely excited, pumped up, ready to throw a party, because he had just done something that was incredible and would forever change the course of all of humanity throughout time, including your life and my life as well. You know, it's interesting. Have any of you seen that picture of the smiling Jesus? It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And I know some of you haven't. So later on when you go home, Google it or whatever search engine you use and put in smiling Jesus. And it'll come up. It's a beautiful picture of Jesus, full of life, big head of hair. No, I'm not. That's not where I'm staying. I'm not staying there. I'm not. You guys are focusing on what I'm not focusing on. And he had the biggest smile you could ever imagine. Just a smile that would light up a room. And you know, the first time that I saw that picture of the smiling Jesus, I was shocked. And the reason why I was shocked is I never thought of Jesus smiling before. All of the people that I grew up who were holy and in the faith tended to be rather serious. Beautiful people, tremendous examples to me of what it meant to live the Christian life. But honestly, I didn't remember them smiling too much. It just wasn't my experience. So when I saw that picture of the smiling Jesus, it was like, oh my gosh, he probably did smile. It was a real flash for me. He probably had emotional moments of joy. And he was really excited and happy about life. Imagine that. So I'm going to give you permission to do something in church that maybe you've never done before. Smile. Smile. I want to see your smile. Smile. Oh, I'm patient. Smile. I'm not moving on from this part of the sermon until you smile. We might be here for a while. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, when you smile, it just changes everything, doesn't it? Especially when you don't want to smile, because it begins to bring you into a different place. Did you realize that you use less muscles smiling than frowning? It's true. It takes less effort, but emotionally sometimes it takes tremendous effort. And I believe Jesus was smiling because he was full of joy. He was excited about what had happened and what it meant for all of our lives throughout time. And I believe that as you and I begin to get in touch with what the resurrection really is about, and we really begin to connect with the risen Lord, guess what? Oh, you're just going to have to smile. And nobody's going to be able to wipe it off of your face. Nobody and no thing, because of the joy of the Lord in your heart. And the Lord went on to party. He did. It wasn't like the party at the wedding in Cana where he did his first miracle that we as Episcopalians really rejoice in, where he turned water into wine. Although that was a great one. That was a great miracle. I'm all with it. I'm down with it. But the miracles he did after his resurrection were just amazing. You read the rest of the story, and you need to. As Jesus went out from this place at the tomb, he appeared to his disciples in Galilee, and they believed in him. He also went to different tombs of people that had died in God, and they were risen from the dead. I mean, read the rest of the story. That's what happens. And what Jesus was saying in those stories, what happened, and what he's saying to you and me here today, is not only have I risen from the dead, but one day you will rise from the dead as well. The dead in Christ will rise. Hallelujah. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And as you and I proclaim that, it should come from the depth of our heart with a joy and an excitement. Death is not the final word for us, but life everlasting. This is just a dry run. It's important. It's part of life. It matters. But what is this compared to eternity? You need to go out to the Gulf sometime this week and pick up a grain of sand, just a grain, and that's what this is compared to eternity. That's the kind of time we're talking about. So get excited. Get excited. Celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, because it means an eternity with him and with those who are risen in Christ. Celebrate my victory over death and evil. It really is something to celebrate and thank me for. Celebrate that I am the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Celebrate this. Celebrate that your Redeemer lives. He's alive. He's not dead. It's not a book of philosophies. It's not a set of goals. You serve a living Redeemer who wants to come alive in your life more and more each and every day. By the way, we're going to be singing My Redeemer Lives in just a little while, so you're going to have a chance. I'm going to get a chance to hear you again. You know, part of the reason why people, I believe, haven't really connected with the risen Jesus is because for many people, people in the world, and sadly even people in the church, they're still going to a funeral. You know, I see it as a priest in church all the time. I look out and I just look at certain people and I know that their Jesus is dead. I can just tell. And you know what? If Jesus is dead to you today, I'm so glad you're here right now, because I'm gonna introduce you to one who's alive. You can bury your dead Jesus. Just bury him, because I'm going to tell you about the one who's living, who's alive, and has risen from the dead. You know, the reality is for people for whom Jesus is dead, it's for a couple of reasons. One is because they may not have a real relationship with him. They may have never experienced the reality that they could have a personal relationship with Christ, and they've never really grown in that relationship. You've heard about Jesus. You've read about him, maybe. You've seen some stories about him, but there's no real connection or relationship there. And for some of you, maybe you've followed the Lord for a while. You've been his disciple, but maybe you've fallen away. Maybe he didn't come through for you in terms of a prayer that you were praying for yourself or for someone you really loved. And you're angry at God. You've given up on God, and you walked away from him a long time ago. Again, I'm glad that you're here today. Because the reality is, as much as we might treat Jesus as if he's dead, he's alive. He is alive. He's praying for you right now at the right hand of the Father. He's lifting up you up. He's interceding for you. And more than anything else, he wants to reveal himself to you as the living Christ. And one of the ways he's doing that right now is he's reaching out through me to share with you about this truth, to share it with you, and to encourage you to make a step of faith. And so how might we begin to experience this living Christ? I mean, he's risen from the dead. I just shared with you according to the scriptures. He's praying for us right now in heaven. We're probably not going to visually see him today just because of location, you know? We're in different places. It could happen, but you know what? It's probably not going to happen right now. So how do we make that step? We make that step in faith. So I'm talking to you right now. Really, I am, heart to heart. And I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. One is reach out in faith to the resurrected Jesus. Wherever you are right now in your journey, you might not even be on the journey, I'm hoping you started today. Some of you may have abandoned the journey. It's time to get back on the road. I want you along with me to reach out in faith to the resurrected Jesus today. Know that he is alive. Know that when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them through the presence of his Holy Spirit. Then I want to invite you along with me to do this next step. Make it a prayer. Jesus, please reveal yourself to me in a way that I'll see. Doesn't matter to me how it happens. I'm just praying it happens. Jesus, please reveal yourself to me in a way that I'll see. Maybe for you, it'll be a flock of birds flying overhead. Maybe it'll be a golf sunset. Maybe it'll be a person that you will encounter. Maybe it is this very moment in this sanctuary where you feel God's Spirit touching you in a way like never before. Maybe it will be an event, but I'm praying, I've been praying for you before this moment, I'm praying it's going to happen now or very soon. And what I want to invite you to do is not intellectualize it away, not ignore it, but be powerfully touched by the presence and the revelation of God in that moment, because God wants to shatter you with his hope. He wants to shatter you with his light and with his life. Wherever you might be right now, whatever you're going through, again, I don't know about your life, but I need to be shattered by him every day. Sometimes it's not pleasant, sometimes it's wonderful, but I need him to break through in my life in ways that I can't even begin to imagine. You know how you and I, we have our patterns. We kind of do things the same way every time. I pretty much know where each of you are going to sit every Sunday. It's not because I'm a prophet, it's just because you guys are creatures of habit. That's what I'm saying. Don't we all kind of eat and drink the same kind of stuff every day? Yeah, we like our favorite spot and where we're at. We go sometimes to the same restaurants at the same times to kind of do the same things. We're creatures of habit. And you know what? There's some things you love to do. I'm glad for you. That's great. That's awesome. But hear me. There are some things in your life right now that need to be shattered. Hard hearts need to be shattered. Hearts that are full of darkness need to begin to receive the light. If you have walked away from the Lord and you are living in sin, it's time to repent and come back to him. He's waiting with open arms and to make this step of faith toward him. You see, that's what the women at the tomb did. That's what happened to them. Their lives were shattered with hope. Imagine their surprise coming to anoint a dead body and meeting a risen Lord. How surprising could that have been? Couldn't have been. It was the most surprising day of their life. And what happened? What happened? They were drawn to Jesus. I want to tell you something about Jesus. When you really meet the resurrected Lord and you have this experience with him, he just draws you in. I mean, I'm not just talking about the picture of the smiling Jesus. As much as I like that picture, I'm talking about the living presence of Jesus. There is just something very attractive about him. Love, forgiveness, mercy, hope, your destiny, God's grace in your life. What human being doesn't want to experience those things? I've never met a human being yet who doesn't want all of that in their life. And Jesus is the embodiment of every one of those. And so they see Jesus, they come to him, and they grab his feet so he can't get away. That's what they do. They grab his feet, read the scripture, and then they worship him. See? And our hearts will change as we're in his presence. We'll just be drawn to worship him. That is the right attitude in the presence of the resurrected Jesus. You just want to worship him because he's so worthy of our worship. And then he says to them something that was said in 10 verses of scripture four times. If in 10 verses of scripture something is said four times, it's neon signs. Listen, this is important. Don't be afraid. If anybody is here in fear today, if you have any fear in your life today, I say to you today, don't be afraid. Leave it here today. Get rid of it once and for all. Don't be afraid. I'm going on and I'll meet my disciples in Galilee. I will meet you there. And so that's what the Lord is saying to us today. He wants us to be open to the reality that he is alive. He's alive. And to be open to that excitement and the joy and the hope and the love that he uniquely brings. This is your day to come to him in a way like never before and to meet your resurrected Jesus. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I invite you to pray along with me and just open your heart to him and make a step in faith. Father Joe, I've never done this before. I've never made this step in faith before. Awesome. Awesome. This is your chance. This is your chance. Make the step today.